Hey, you guys, welcome back to the All for God Sol Deo Gloria podcast. I am so excited for our guest today, Mr. Rex Stump. Hi, Mr. Stump.
Well, good afternoon, and how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be talking with you today.
I am so excited. So before we get started, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm also a pastor, but I've been doing this for about 15 years now with FCA. And I also coached high school ball. And then as my boys grew up, I coached other sports as well with my boys.
All right. Thank you. So in case you guys were wondering how I know Mr. Stump, it's from when I lived in Ohio probably 8 years ago, I think. Probably about 8 years. My dad was coaching a high school girls basketball team, and Mr. Stump would come, and he would talk to the girls, and he would do different fun, like, team building activities with them. Stump, I was just curious to know, what is one of the most common questions that you get asked when you go and talk to people?
Well, there are quite a few questions, but one of them is, because of my job working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and working in public schools, a lot of times people ask me, are you even allowed to talk about God in school? Can you share your faith in a public school? That's probably one of my top questions.
Yeah, so that is what I was going to ask you. Are you allowed to talk about God when you go to visit public schools and be open about your faith? Or do you have to be more talking about like leadership and team relationships and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as I am meeting with athletes or students or coaches during a non-academic hour, like before school or during lunch, or some schools have a non-academic period during the day, I can talk about my faith and share Bible verses or pray with them. However, there are some coaches who really don't care about that rule. And they ask me, Rex, can you go ahead and pray with our team? Or a lot of times, like when I worked with your dad's basketball teams after school, because it was the whole team, we couldn't really force anybody to do anything because it needs to be volunteer if it's going to be during an activity. But again, your dad and the teams that we worked with, they were pretty open to wanting to know more. Sometimes I would focus more on character, but all the character that I related to was scriptural. And so it always came back to, I might not quote something from the book of James, or I may not say this is found in the book of James, but I might talk about how the tongue is a dangerous thing, which is coming out of James.
Yeah, I've always been like interested in that because I don't really go to the public. I've been in public school maybe 3 years I've gone in, but other than that, I've been homeschooled, so I haven't like been around it. So I'm always curious to know like how much you're allowed when you're a teacher or you're someone working for the FCA or your coach, how much you're allowed to be open about it. That's something I've always been curious about. And I was wondering, what is your favorite thing to talk about when you get to go to schools and preach? What is your favorite thing to talk about?
Boy, there's so much. I think often it's just anything dealing with how to live for Christ, how to keep it, I think, maybe in a positive way. There's so many challenges that young people face, and even coaches. But I think anytime I have the opportunity to speak truth and encouragement, that brings joy for me.
Yeah, and I love that, when you do talk to other people about God, it really does bring you a lot of joy. Like, personally, for me, on my basketball team, a lot of them, like, they get uncomfortable when I start talking. Like, when I told them I was making the podcast, they looked very uncomfortable. And I was just talking, and I didn't really care that much. And I do have one friend on the basketball team. who is trying to become closer to Christ. Yep. So I love that her dad actually helps coach my team, and my dad coaches our team. So while they're talking after practice, I get to talk to her afterward a lot, and I always enjoy talking because it makes you feel really good about your, like, it makes you feel good about yourself too when you get to talk to other people about Christ. And what is your favorite thing about working for the FCA?
Well, I think one of my favorite things is every day is different. So it's, I don't have to worry about maybe falling into a routine that gets boring, or it's different. So I sort of look forward to that. I see God show up in different ways. I get to share the gospel. So I think, you know, some of my favorite things, I think, is just the opportunity to go places I've not been, or to see something happen that I did not see happen the day before.
Yeah. When you work a lot with teens with, like, and student athletes a lot, obviously, because of your job. And what is one of the most common things that you have seen that a lot of Christian athletes struggle or deal with?
I think they struggle with their identity. I think a lot of young people, and I know adults do the same, but for young student athletes, I think they get caught, they lose their identity, they get caught up in their sport, and it's like, if I have a good game, I'm a good person. If I have a bad game, or I make an error, I turn the ball over, I'm a bad person. And the other thing is then they feel bad about themselves, and they don't see the value that they have, who they are in Christ, that God created them with incredible value. And I think the other challenge for a lot of athletes is just growing up, just being average, thinking that who I am maybe doesn't matter. And so I think that's why there's such a striving and focus on, I want to be successful, I want to be on a winning team, because they think that's how they're going to be remembered, and that's how they find worth in their identity. So I think that's a huge struggle with young people.
Yes, I agree. I think that especially when you play sports, it's really easy to get caught up in what you're doing and forget about, like, your identity being in Christ, and you start feeling like your identity is in your sport, or it's in your music, or it's in whatever job you do. I think that's what a lot of teens struggle with.
Absolutely. They also struggle, I think, with failing. Nobody wants to fail, of course, but we don't really learn how to embrace failing because we can learn from it, and it shapes us. And we learn to pick ourselves back up and move again. But a lot of people don't want to fail, so sometimes they don't attempt to do anything. And that's another struggle as well.
Yeah. And this is kind of going off of that, is why do you think it's so hard for teens to be authentic? Like, why do you think it's so hard for them to be real, especially with things that they're struggling with?
I think it's because, part of me is because they don't want to be seen as a failure. They, you think about all the social media things that are there, from Snapchat to Instagram to whatever it may be. There's all kinds of filters on your phone, and nobody wants to see the real you, or I should say, you don't want people to see the real you. So you doctor it up, you filter it up, and the truth is, we all know that we make mistakes, that we fall short of what God calls us to be and do, but He still loves us and shows us grace. And I think sometimes we forget how much God loves us, and we forget that He shows us grace, and we forget that we need to show ourselves a little grace and the people around us. So, because I don't think we want to be seen as failures, we got to, I think that's where there's a lot of people don't want to be authentic.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think that for a lot of people, it's very hard to let yourself be yourself because you're afraid that other people will look down on you because of it, or like you're saying, like, they'll see you as a failure or whatever else it is. But I think something that would be important to remember when you're thinking these thoughts is that it's not really important about what other people think about you. It's what God thinks about you.
Right.
He thinks, like, God will never think you're a failure. Like, no matter what you do, he'll still love you and forgive you. It's just important to remember that in all you're doing, to do it for God.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm getting at is with, you know, if we fail, then we think we're not going to be loved by anybody. And that's the grace of God saying, you have failed, but I still love you. I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't understand that. We don't want to fail because we want to be loved.
Yeah. And I think that's something, that's another important thing is to remember that God does love you. So mm-hmm. even if you feel like a failure, you know, God still's there. He still loves you no matter what.
Absolutely.
All right. What is one piece of advice that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Wow. One piece of advice I wish I knew when I was younger. Maybe don't get worked up over the little things. I think there's things growing up that I probably overemphasized that I didn't need to. That might be one thing. Maybe the other thing would be just to never give up. I think I had great role models in my life that showed me never to give up. And so I think that is something, though, I wish it was told to me. I saw it, but it wasn't really told to me. I think that would be something I wish I knew a little bit more when I was younger.
Yeah. And you said that you did have a role model mm-hmm. that helped you a lot. And what would be, like, who was your role model that helped to shape you into the Christian that you are today?
Well, actually, I'm going to say three. One was my choir director, because I was a very, very shy person. I was actually voted the shyest kid in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. but being an athlete and liking music, my choir director put me in front of the choir, in front of the crowds, introducing our songs. And we had a huge choir. We actually flew to Dallas one year. And so, I mean, that was sort of unheard of, but it got me in front of people and sort of broke that fear of being in front of people. But my greatest mentor and role model is my father. And he's the one that showed me to never give up. He's the one that showed me how to work hard and how to love others and to love God. And so my father was my greatest role model and mentor.
Yeah. And do you think that it's important for teens to also have somebody like that in their own lives?
Oh my, absolutely. You know, it's great to have peers that you can hang out with and grow from, but you need somebody that's been down the road ahead of you that can help you show the way. I've got three sons, and when they become a junior in high school, we call this a blessings ceremony. And I had them choose 7, 8, 9 men that have made a difference in their life. And we go out to eat, and each of those men speak truth into my son, and they are people that my sons have looked up to. And so it's a great night, but I think for those men too, they don't realize how they are being an influence into my son's life. But I want my sons mm-hmm. to have somebody besides me as well that they can look up to and learn from.
Yeah. And what would be your advice to teens on how they can find their own Christian mentor? Because I, especially if, like, let's say that they're, as a teen, they are a Christian, mm-hmm. but nobody in their family is a Christian, and they don't know where to go. Like, what would be your advice on how to find a good mentor?
That's a good question, because my first thought was going to say go to a parent, but I understand I was blessed to have the kind of dad I was, so... but if you don't have a Christian role model in the home, I would say a couple areas. One is maybe a local church, a youth pastor there, maybe even another adult in the church that you trust. If at school, if you don't go to church, that's why I love doing the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, because we, you know, like other people, like whether it's Crew or Youth for Christ, that have organizations, Young Life, you hope to find another adult, maybe it's even a school teacher or coach who has faith, and then if you can meet with them on an often basis, that helps. I mean, coaches are so influential And that's, again, why we work with coaches, because we know if you can reach a coach, you can reach a team. You reach a team, you reach a school. You reach a school, you reach a community. So we know how influential coaches are. So if you're looking for a good mentor, if there's a good Christian coach or teacher in your school, a youth pastor in the town that you live in, I think those are good places to start.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the FCA a lot, mm-hmm. and to be honest, I really don't remember much from when I lived in Ayersville, because I was mm-hmm. so little, and I was just curious to know, like, what are some of the big things that you get to go to, and what do you talk about a lot for the FCA?
Yeah, so the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is the world's largest sports-based ministry. We are in middle schools, high schools, colleges. Even professional athletes are involved in FCA. Drew Brees, who's a quarterback with the New Orleans Saints, he was always a big part of that. Tim Tebow, even though he doesn't play anymore, his name is still pretty big out there. There's a lot of people that work in this ministry. But basically getting into schools where we do Bible studies, we call them huddles. So again, we meet during the day. Then we also have other areas and ways to work with athletes, and we call them team times, is which I did with your dad and the girls basketball team. I come by once a week mm-hmm. with them for during practice for a little bit, and then I take about 5-7 minutes to do a team building activity of some sort, but I tie it in with a character or a characteristic of life, and often, again, sometimes it's just a fruit of the spirit. It's something from God's word, and I'll, if I can, I'll share scripture or I'll share God's word, but I won't mm-hmm. quote it word from the scripture. So it's a lot of, again, it's an opportunity to get into the public school system, and even Christian schools we have huddles in and to share truth.
Yeah, and like, where all is the FCA like located at? Is it in every state or?
Yeah, most every state. We're actually globally. We've got overseas. I got a good friend who is in the Ukraine. His name is Losha, and he serves there doing camps. We got people in Trinidad and Tobago and the Dominican Republic, Haiti. We got they're all over, and so we're global. But throughout the United States, it's a little bit more prevalent in some places than others. Down south, it's really big. Out west, not so much. The Midwest, it's growing. So it's a little bit different everywhere you go. Matter of fact, the head coach for Clemson's football team, Dabo Swinney, most people know him. He's huge in the FCA and is... So a lot of the SEC teams, and I know he's not SEC, but it's a lot of the SEC conference, a lot of their coaches actually support FCA and help promote it within their colleges as well.
Wow. I just think it's so cool how many places that, like, one program can start, like, how many places they go. And obviously it probably started as something pretty small, and then it grew, and now it's this huge thing. I just love to see how God works so much through everybody's lives.
Absolutely.
What would you say is, I kind of already asked, you said, what's your favorite thing about the FCA? But mm-hmm. like, what is your favorite thing that you get to do because you work for the FCA?
Oh, boy. I think one of my favorite things, it's become one of my favorites, is camp. Because FCA even has a camp ministry that meets throughout the summer. Now, last year was a little different with COVID, but this year I think we're going to be back to doing what we were doing before. And that is bringing athletes and even non-athletes together in a camp setting and competing throughout the day, having chapel, and then free time. So I think there's such a variety again where I get to see young people compete and they're sweating. Then they go into chapel and they are inspired by worship and a chaplain and hearing God's word. And the same athlete that I could maybe see bench press 300 pounds is on his knees crying at chapel. And so I think that's probably one of my favorite things seeing in FCA is how God can work through various moments in a person's life and do amazing things.
Wow. Yeah, that's so amazing. I just love how, like, the Spirit just moves through people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, even sometimes a person that you look at and you just be like, well, there's no way, like, you're saying, like, he was on his knees crying. Like, mm-hmm. you don't really expect that. And then he is, so it's just amazing to me.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you to camp. You're just going to have to fly back here this direction, come to camp this summer. I will pay your camp fees if you can get here. I'm going to tell you right now, because we'd love to see you again.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think that I've ever really been to a camp before. Well, I've been to, like, a basketball camp, obviously. Uh-huh. But, like, not like that ever,
honestly. Oh, it's inspiration and perspiration is what we say. You know, you're going to compete, play games, and they've got at the camp where we're at, they got a nice gym there, so you can hoop it up too.
I love that. So, like, what would you say to Christian athletes my age who, like, if you're in a game and let's just say, like, a refs make, like, a game-changing call. Like, it's the end of a game, and they make a horrible call. Or you have a coach that you just really disagree with what they're saying. Like, what would be your advice on staying, like, calm and respectful through all that?
Yeah, and that is super tough because emotions are so fragile during games. And we all want to keep our cool, and it's hard because you believe in what you're doing. I think in the end, you just got to sort of take a deep breath and say, what matters most right now?
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to change a referee's call. You're never going to be able to undo an injury. You can't change the scoreboard. And so there's only a couple things we can control, and that's our attitude and effort. And I always tell athletes that it's like everything else is out of your control. Mm-hmm. And so really, in those moments, you need to remember who you are in Christ. And again, this is me speaking to a Christian athlete or coach, and that is your testimony will be remembered more than that score when all is said and done. And so you may not agree with it. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes losing. And especially if it's unfair or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But how we respond, people remember. And it does this really honor God? What I'm about ready to do. And I know it's like a lot to think about in 2 seconds when all the emotion is spiking and you're just ready to burst. But really, I think we have to go into it in advance, praying before that competition ever begins. And so that we know how to respond when it actually happens. Because I think, you know, even like Daniel, in the lion's den, I think about where he was and how he responded to the king's orders. When something came up against him that was unfair, he didn't fight it. He'd already knew how he was going to respond because he had a lifetime of following his God. And so I think it's the same way as for that coach, for that athlete. It takes a consistent walk with Christ so that in those heated moments, you can respond in a way with wisdom.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good advice. So now, obviously, you're an adult. And as an adult, what is one thing that you try to remember every day?
Stay in God's word. Stay in God's word. Stay focused. Stay on his path. It's the biggest thing. Because I know on those days, if I skip my quiet time or I have an extra early meeting and I cut it back. If I shorten my time with God, I can tell. So I just know you got to stay focused on God's word.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say, like, for me personally, I'm always so, so busy. Like, mm-hmm. especially now with the podcast, I'm like, okay, so today I got to wake up and mm-hmm. I'll read my Bible while I eat breakfast, and then mm-hmm. I'll do my school throughout the day. Then I go to the gym, then I have practice, and then I come home and I have dinner, and then I have to write an outline for my interviews. I'm always really mm-hmm. busy. What would be your advice on how to remember, like you're saying, that it's important to find a time to just pray and read your Bible and spend time with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what it comes down to is you just have to do it. You have to carve out the time, and you're going to have to say no to something. And that's the hard part, because everything, you know, it sounds like a lot of things you're doing, they're all good things, but some things are better than others.
Yeah.
And obviously, the more time you put into one thing, the more dedicated it becomes. And you have to ask yourself, and it's challenging, but here it comes, but who's the real God in your life? If sports is taking up more time than anything else, then it's become a God in your life. And that's challenging, because you've probably been told you're really good at this. And so, you know, you feel like, well, this is a gift God's given you, so you need to use it for him, right? So you almost feel like, well, but I'm using my gift, but yet I'm not having time with the Lord. So what do I do? Martha and Mary were sisters in the Bible. And there's a story when one sat at the feet of Jesus and just listened while the other one was in the kitchen serving. And she came out and was like, look at her. She's just sitting there. And Jesus is like, yep. And I think that's what we got to do sometimes, is we can get really busy. And every now and then we just got to stop and sit at his feet. And even though God's given you a gift and you've got a lot of things going on, every now and then you might not be able to do it every day, and that's okay. But every now and then you got to stop and actually carve out that time and make it a priority. And that means saying no to some other good things. And it's not easy, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever regret saying, boy, I wish I didn't spend so much time with God. I've never heard anybody say that.
Nope,
it's usually the flip side. It's like, I spent too much time on my phone, or I spent too much time on the TV, or I spent too much time doing this or that. So,
That was really good. I agree. I think a lot of times you do, like, you spend so much time doing something, like, whether it's like on your phone or playing video games or whatever else it is, that you could be spending time with God, something that's unnecessary in place of something that is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this question is something that I personally struggle with a lot, because I have dealt with it in my own life, is where you're somewhere and you know somebody who's not a Christian, and you try to talk to them about God, and they just don't want to hear it. They just don't want to listen to you. What would be your advice on dealing with that in that circumstance?
Yeah. So I would say never give up. I mean, obviously the reason you want to tell them about God is because you love them and you want the best for them. So you're going to try to tell them, and they may not want to hear it. And that's okay. I would just say don't keep trying to slam it down their throat. Just live the more you live out your faith, and show them you are a good friend, that you can be trusted, and that you're going to love them, and you're going to accept them for who they are, and you're not going to judge them. And when you have the opportunity, you'll share. But I think eventually what's going to happen is, sometimes with our friends, they go through a rough time, and typically you will be the one they'll come to first. And it's in that moment they'll be ready to listen. And so sometimes we try to play the role of the Holy Spirit, and we think we can convince people they need Jesus. But really, that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to convict them and convince them. We just need to be the mouthpiece of God and keep sharing and keep blowing that trumpet and letting them know. But we can't change their heart. So I would say don't give up in sharing, but make sure you are living out your faith in a way that they know that when tough times hit, or when their heart is ready, that they're going to come to you first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I think that something that is important is to remain patient, because it's really up to their choice. Mm-hmm. You can't force them to believe. And, you know, God gives each of us our own choices, so we get to choose what we believe or what we don't believe. And if they choose not to believe, no matter how much you are patient and you try to show them or you talk to them, then you just keep trying, obviously. But if they just end up, like, they just don't believe you, you really, like, you've done everything you can. You have to think of it that way, that there's not much else you can do.
Yep, that's right.
All right, so that was a lot of questions, but before we end, we've done this only one time before, and that's our new segment, Would You Rather Bible Themes. So I'm really excited because this was only the second one, so I did some digging and I found a lot of good questions, I think.
Okay, I'm a little nervous.
The first question is, would you rather carry the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River or carry Jesus' cross to Golgotha? I think I said that right, but I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Wow, that's a good one. I think... Oh, wow. You know, here's the thing. If it's the Ark of the Covenant, everybody knew. I mean, like, this is the presence of God, and everybody knew. So it was like, that's a scary thing, and you better not mess that up. Carrying a cross, I don't think anybody in that moment knew the significance of what was happening. It would have been a very painful thing and challenging thing.
Let's say that you do. That you do know that that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so you're looking for me to answer these quicker than when I am. I'm thinking this through too much. Okay,
no, that's good.
I'm going to go with the cross.
The cross?
Because what I know what the cross means to me now more than anything, I'd say that. I would carry it for him.
That one is really difficult. I don't know what I would pick. Because, you know, with the Ark of the Covenant, I think I'd be afraid to touch it. Because, you know, the stories, like when the Philistines took it. I was actually just reading about that today. The Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, and then they brought it back, and then people opened it, and then they died. And it's like, I don't know if I want to touch it or not. And then you have Jesus' cross, and it's like, well, you know, he's going to die. But then yet you do know he's going to save you, but it's still kind of sad, happy at the same moment.
Yeah. So
that's a hard one. Yeah. All right. Next one. Would you rather be present at Jesus' birth or his resurrection?
Ooh, resurrection. I'd love this to see him in all his glory, and he just defeated death. He'd be so victorious. I'm going with that one. Yeah,
I think I'd have to agree, because I think that a lot of times that, you know, like you see like the children's books where they're like, there's the pictures drawn in them and stuff of Jesus's birth, and there's like a little halo over his head, and I think that they don't get it down the right way. I think that they make it seem like they're very comfortable in the barn and all this. But if you really think about it, they're stuck with a bunch of stinky animals. And Jesus is placed in hay that the animals are eating. And he's just been born. So I think I agree with that one. I would rather be at the resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Would you rather deceive your father into thinking that you're your brother so that you can receive his blessing like Jacob did? Or would you rather tell your father that his favorite son is dead like Joseph's brothers did?
Oh, man.
That one is really long.
Well, no, it's not just long. It's like I kind of lie to my dad either way. I don't know if I want to do either one of those. So, wow. Let's see. I'm going to go with probably the first one, deceiving the father for the birthright, because I'm the youngest of six kids. Like, I've got four older brothers, so I feel like the Joseph of the family sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not really. But anyway, I think I would rather deceive because they, I'll go with that one.
I think I agree with that one, because if you do the first one, you're receiving a blessing. If you're doing the second one and you're telling your father that his favorite son is dead, then he's going to be super upset and you're just going to be like, oh, why did I do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they both, and you think about the stories, I mean, in Jacob and Esau, I mean, at least they made up soon down the road, but with Joseph, I mean, the brothers were in agony for years thinking that, you know, they killed their brother, so.
Yep. All right, final one.
Okay.
Would you rather have the strength of Samson or the wisdom of Solomon?
Whatever happened to, would you rather have vanilla ice cream or chocolate? That would have been so much easier. So, okay, so I'm going to go with wisdom. I'm going to go with wisdom. Yeah. As much as I love strength, I would rather go with wisdom.
Because I think that one probably was the easiest one because yeah. I think that most people would probably pick wisdom over strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because mm-hmm. then you can always outsmart the strong guy. So.
Yeah, that was really fun. All right, thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Stump.
Oh, absolutely.
You have been such an amazing guest, and it's been really fun. Yes. So thank you. And thank you to all our listeners out there, but make sure that you share the podcast. It only gets spread out more if you share with your friends and family. It's now available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. So make sure that you tell them and you make sure they go listen to it. And make sure you DM me on Instagram at All For God Soul Deo Gloria and tell me what you think. And if you have any questions, go ahead and ask me. And I just want to say thank you guys for listening. And remember, in all you do, do all for God's glory.